Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hour number two, Ben Woods, live in Peoria, Arizona. 8 o'clock here, 7 o'clock back in San Diego. We're here through Friday morning, all week long at Padres Fantasy Camp. And then I believe we will be back late next month for Padres Spring Training.
Yes.
Officially kicks off in a couple of weeks. We're going to have Tim Flannery joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Do have some local sports activities today to keep an eye on. Of course, it's round one of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. About an hour, they will start teeing off on the north and south courses, running through Saturday this week. Always a fun event.
Oh, man, always a blast.
Got college basketball tonight. San Diego State trying to bounce back from their loss to UNLV over the weekend. They will play at Air Force, the last place team in the Mountain West. Obviously, can't afford to lose that game or really any more at this point. You don't want to fall further behind. But last night, in a bit of a stunner after they knocked off Utah State and San Diego State last week. UNLV then returns at home and loses to Wyoming last night. So the Mountain West is absolutely crazy.
It's going to be nuts.
When it comes to college basketball, you just have to come to play every single night, whether you're home, road, who you're taking on. But that's not something that's going to help San Diego State's metrics.
No.
UNLV taking a bad loss at home yesterday to Wyoming. So that's some of the stuff that is going on right now, though. We're going to continue here at Fantasy Camp. Always one of our favorite guests every year. It is so good to see him. We've got Tim Flannery back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Flan, you have just about as much hair as our last guest did.
Absolutely. I think that's a theme in the coach's room.
Yes.
And that's what happened. And I think yesterday watching our guys play, I think I might have lost a little bit of hair as well. My wife last night aired me out saying it's their fantasy league. You want to back off of them a little bit. And I go, well, you know what? They ran for the cycle. They got thrown out at every base yesterday.
True. Yeah, it's true. It was really an ugly Flan's my coach. And, you know, we did everything we could yesterday, and I'm sure I didn't help. I think I walked the moon, you know, in the first game, and it was, I mean, no excuses. It was, couldn't find the zone.
You're one of our top draft picks, so you're doing fine. You know, we were, anyway, I'm going to give him the old boat speech, you know.
Okay.
You play hard to compete, and you play smart to win.
Yeah.
Because there's a mental part of it. I know it's their fantasy, but I can't take watching.
He's losing his mind. He said yesterday after the second game, he goes, I'll tell you where I'm not going to be tomorrow, over there.
And
he
pointed, coaching third.
He pointed at the third base coaching box. I said, well, if you're not going to – who's better than you in coaching third base, Tim Flannery?
This might have been the crew that just totally finished my career.
He told us a great story yesterday about what you would tell your guys, you know, and it's think about base running. You got to think about base running when you're out there.
Everybody gets in car wrecks because they're not thinking about driving.
Yeah.
And you bite your tongue when you're eating, you're not thinking about eating. And when you get thrown out, usually you're thinking about other things.
Well, I would imagine it's difficult because you got a guy on second, you know, single up the middle, and you're thinking, all right, well, you know, a major leaguer should score easily here, but this guy runs about a third the speed of a normal person. But then you're looking at the outfield arm and going, yeah, but this is going to be like a 19-hopper home. And you're going, how do I decide whether to send the guy home or not for third base?
You know, when I was playing, and I said playing because coaching third base is like playing. In my years in San Francisco, I was, you know, 52, 55, and I wore spikes just to get out of the way when the ball was hit at me. But I made decisions like that. I would sometimes come back to third and said, I'm 55. I can make it. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't do that here.
I was rounding third the other day, and Flan was sending me, and he goes, you got to fly. You got to fly. And I'm like, fly? I don't know who you're talking to here, man. But I made it. It was a good send.
Yeah.
And we got that run. But Tim Flannery joins us this morning. He also told a great story, and I think it's appropriate for air. It's actually unbelievable. So you managed Arky, who's your co-coach there, Arky Sanfranco, and you managed him in what, AAA?
AAA in 1995 in Vegas.
And the story about Arky getting called up to the big leagues is an all-timer.
Yeah, I'll tell it real quick if I can.
Yeah, you can.
We were in the Pacific Coast League, and it just happened there was like a three-city hop that we were on, but also the great band Little Feet was on the same three-city. And their road manager was a great friend of mine, Coach Sexton. He's famous in San Diego, famous in the music world. He does the Stones now. He's done all of them. So, anyway, I kept going to the shows. And then manage a game, go to the show. And then I was there for three straight times, so they invited me to their party, the end-of-tour party. So I came out of there well-oiled up, and it was about midnight. And I see Arky walking into the lobby of the hotel, our team hotel. And we had a little game that we would blindside each other. It was called lobby wrestling. And I blindsided him, took him down, tackled him.
I'm sure the hotel managers love that.
He's past curfew.
He's past curfew.
So he's out and he shouldn't.
And he's getting up and trying to walk. And now I'm chasing him down the hallway. And he goes into his room and slams the door. Well, I'm about three rooms up. Across the hall down, the flashing red light, we had no cell phones, the flashing red light on the phone. It was Kevin Towers and Bruce Bochy said, "We got to have Arky in Atlanta tomorrow. We have to get him there. We're down a player. Get him to get him to Atlanta." So I go back, and I'm knocking on the door, Arky, he goes, "Go away, go." Arky, open the door. He goes, "Leave me alone, go away." I go, "Arky, you're going to the big leagues." He goes, "That's not funny."
Just shouting through a hotel door.
He wouldn't open it. He thought he was going to get blindsided again.
You know, the little games you got to play to keep everybody's sanity.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Arky said, "It wasn't my fault. I was out with Rob Deere," and nobody could say no to Rob Deere.
Yeah, so, he might be here today. I called him last night. He plays harmonica occasionally with me.
Oh, man.
And because I managed him, too, in AAA, and I had one rule. If you have 220 big league home runs, you can do anything you want. So he played the harmonica with me on the streets of Granville Island down in Vancouver. I was trying a couple songs. I wanted to see if people play music for people who don't know anything about you. It'll determine what your song's like. Well, Rob played harmonica. I just said, "Okay, I'm playing the key of G. Here's a G harmonica." He wanted to play with me. Well, after we finished, he hands me back all his harmonicas, and they got tobacco all down in. He's got Copenhagen down in all the. Anyway, he says he's threatening to come play with us today.
Man, that is unbelievable.
Talking to Tim Flannery, we've heard so many great stories from Flann over the years, playing with, Tony Gwynn and everything. I really haven't heard much about your days managing at AAA. Las Vegas, the Stars, the Padres AAA affiliate back then. And imagine that came with its own challenges. AAA, Las Vegas, got young guys who are coming up, Sin City.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that would be a bit of a headache for a manager trying to keep track of those, 21, 22-year-olds in Las Vegas all the time.
And you also had to cover for them, like over the year, I was very close to the guys. And Scotty Bream was a prospect, but he just got married, making minor league money. And he walked in one morning, hadn't slept all night. You could tell he was hammered still. But he won $3,000 on the crap table. And I knew that this guy's trying to, he had a baby. So I covered for him, why isn't Bream in the game? He had a little bit of the flu. And I just felt this guy's tough on him. We're going to give him a day rest. But the whole PCL, it's a tough league of travel. You meet at 3:30 in the morning at the airport, then you fly to Salt Lake City, and then you fly to Edmonton, and then you take a dog sled north of Edmonton to go up and play. We always joked that the rule was the first day you have to be totally exhausted. But the thing that you really deal with at AAA is if these guys aren't on roster spots, they can't come to the big leagues. So a lot of times your better players have been taken off the roster spots for, you know, because the front office thinks that, well, this guy's going to have a little bit a better future. He's got more talent in the long run. So, and everybody's mad. The umpires have all been to the big leagues, and now they're in AAA.
Oh.
The players go to the big leagues, they're in AAA. And now you throw Las Vegas in on it.
Oh, my God.
And we had Monday nights. And to this day, I call it blood donor night. And here's why. Because across the ballpark, on Monday nights, if you give blood, they give you $5. And a lot of the people that, unfortunately, are either homeless or have alcohol issues, they would go there on Mondays. They would give blood. They'd get $5. Well, then at Cashman Field in Vegas, Monday nights was a dollar beer night.
Oh, my goodness.
So they would be hammered, and these guys, you know, were homeless, and it doesn't matter. They were, even the homeless were screaming at the manager.
Watching a ball game, drinking dollar beers, and screaming at the manager.
I called it blood donor night. That was like the promotion.
It's. I mean, I can't even imagine the litany of stories that you have.
Minor leagues are great. Minor league managing was I managed in Spokane, the rookie leagues. That was my favorite because you have 26 All-Americans show up, you know. And Jason Thompson, the stud, he did get to the big leagues. But the first week up in Spokane, I mean, these kids are 20 years old, you know. And he looks over and sees my wife. We were younger then. And he goes, hey, and I hear him say, look at that blonde over there.
Oh, boy.
I go, hey. She comes with three kids, and your $500 a month ain't going to work. And I make the reports every night. I'd lighten up a little bit.
I mean, again, like, you know, if I had any talent at all and I could go back and play for a guy like Tim Flannery, oh, what's better than that, man? What is
Jake Peavy's in the house.
Jake Peavy's here.
Sir. Are we playing tonight?
You're damn right we are.
Oh, all right. We got a show.
They're going to bring the guitars out. They played last year.
I'll tell you what, it feels good to be in a Padre uniform again with this man right here.
I bet. The great Jake Peavy. Yeah, Flan, I mean, you know, having you back in the fold, we've talked about it the last few years. It's a blessing for all of us.
Blessing. No, I love it.
And having you out here and as our skipper and getting to know you and your family. You're just one of my favorite guys. You know that. And so happy you stopped by. And I mean, we could do 2 hours.
Well, I'm glad you said. I keep waiting for you to say, but you're a wreck. You know?
No. You're an inspiration,
I'm a
my
mess.
Friend. You're an inspiration, and looking forward to watching you jam tonight.
It'd be fun.
It'd be great.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good day.
We gotta win some ball games.
I got hammered. My wife yelled at me last night for. I got on the guys yesterday. I gave them the whole scoreboard as the guru.
I remember
that scoreboard. It'll teach you how to run the bases. It'll teach you how to do everything. She goes, "Will you lighten up on them? Let them. It's a fantasy for them." And it's true. I felt bad, so I got up this morning and took my meds. She overnighted them, and I realized I do need them.
Don't lighten up on them. That's what they're here for. That's what they're here for.
We want to get chewed out, man. We want to get chewed out.
Tim Flannery, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
always
pals.
Appreciate talking with you. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll check traffic, and then we'll come back, and we will talk to Mark Mudcat Grant. Is that next segment?
Yep.
All right, Mudcat's sitting around somewhere in the building, probably having some breakfast right now, and we'll talk about how his off season is going. We all miss him and Don so much over the last few months. They're part of our lives, like, every night, and then they're just gone for a few months, and it's like, hey, wait, what happened to this guy that I spend so much time with? So that is coming up. First, though, you want me to talk about some Prize Picks. I have been playing Prize Picks now for about 8 or 9 months, really, really enjoying my daily fantasy experience with Prize Picks. Chance to win real money every single night. You can put together lineups between 2 and 6 players, and all you're doing is projecting stats, picking more or less, and especially during the football playoff season. In fact, coming up this Sunday, for the championship Sunday, look for the special square with Jaden Daniels. Just one half of a passing yard, more or less. That's an easy one. Combine that with one other player, 5 other players, whatever it is. It makes it way easy to win. In fact, you can win up to 1,000 times your cash by running your game all season long with Prize Picks. And when you sign up and download the app, make sure you use our code KWFN. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup by using the code KWFN. Signing up for Prize Picks. And when it's not football, obviously there's basketball, there's hockey, whatever sports you're following, college hoops, it's all there with Prize Picks. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Back here from Padres Fantasy Camp, 97.3 The Fan, live in Peoria, Arizona. Normally this would be our Don't Do This segment. We'll push that back again today like we did yesterday, because this is a good time in the morning before the morning meeting, before all the players head out to the fields to talk to some of the coaches. We've already had Tim Flannery and Wally Joyner joining us, and continuing with the theme of hairless baseball players. We're Grant with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Mudd, it is good to see you.
Hairless and not talented.
No, you're very talented. With a microphone. You're very, very talented.
You clarify, with a microphone.
Now, Wally Joyner and Tim Flannery, very talented.
The best.
They are the best, yeah.
I'll tell you what, the yucks we have in that coach's room are just, and we've heard the stories before.
Yeah.
But they just keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
And to hear, because there was a time, obviously, when I did not play with Flan and Tempe and TK and those guys, and to hear those stories, it's just, it brings a smile to my face, and it's like, the best prescription is a good old-fashioned horse laugh.
No doubt.
I mean, and just let her rip and just have some fun doing it.
I want to ask you about Bob Uecker, who passed away last week. We were on the air when it happened.
Yes.
And, I mean, it was like, it was jarring. I mean, he's 91 years old. You knew it was coming at some point.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And a life and career well lived.
Oh, the,
yeah, it's just the
stories.
And so I was thinking about you. I think he'd been to Petco since I'd had a credential, but I never had the guts to walk up and introduce myself. I just wanted to let him be.
Sure.
I didn't want him to ruin it for me, you know, yeah. The legend. But how much time did you get to spend with Uke in your life?
Brief, but when we crossed paths, it was gold.
Yeah.
He was just always on.
Always.
With a comeback, with a line, with very gracious with his time. And we were lucky not to have him only in the game of baseball, but in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his acting career, his Johnny Carson appearances. And if you want to have some laughs, you guys have probably watched those.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah.
What, do you appear on the Carson Show? Like,
100 times?
Yeah, 100 times.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad when we book a guest, you know, twice or three times a year. I don't want to burn the audience out, but I guess if a guest is that good, you keep having him on, because he was on every single time.
And one of the things I admired about Bob Uecker was that his wardrobe.
Yeah,
his wardrobe?
Sharp. Yeah, sharp.
Like the plaid pants with the white shoes, the belt, the jacket.
Sounds like somebody I know.
Oh.
Yeah, just like somebody I know, to be honest with you.
You have to accessorize, would you?
That's exactly
but no,
right.
He's a tremendous loss, but what a treasure, what a gem that we had. We were lucky enough to have in the game of baseball.
Let me ask about that, how important it is in a clubhouse. Yeah, there's a lot of serious guys, but there also has to be someone who can cut the tension. You're a guy who can cut the tension a little bit. Bob Uecker obviously was a guy who can cut the tension. How did other guys react to that? I'm sure there was some maybe mixed reactions to the antics.
Yes, and I think you learn through time when to pick your spots. Because I remember when I was growing up, you know, I was always the class clown.
Sure.
Loved baseball, loved playing sports. When I was out there, I was a competitor. I wanted to win just as much as the next guy. And that's when you start getting into the area of, oh, this guy's got this type of personality. He's not really performing up to his ability, which who really knows what your ability is. Oh, well, that's hindering him from being whatever.
Got it.
You know, and as I got older and got more into the game and, you know, learn how to pick your spots, because you're out there to win a game and try to pitch and do the best you can. But I do have one story when I was with the Mariners back in 1992, where everybody was deathly afraid of Randy Johnson.
Oh, sure, sure.
Right? Yeah. So I come to the Mariners in spring training, and, hey, how you doing? Kind of little flybys. Hey, Randy, how you doing? Not too aggressive, but just to whatever. So as time went on, I noticed that guys are kind of, hey, how come guys are scared of the unit? What's going on? He goes, oh, well, Randy's kind of whatever, you know. Stays to himself.
Standoffish.
Well, that's going to change.
Yeah. So, I'm going to get to him.
So I would give him little barbs every now and then, just really lighthearted stuff. So one day I really stepped over the line. He pitched a game and just got it handed to him.
Right.
So the next day I'm hovering around his locker a little bit. And I go, hey, unit, you were really good yesterday. And just turn my back and walk away. And he goes, like, what the hell did he just say?
Oh, my God.
And guys are like, what are you doing? I go, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Right. So anyway. I would kind of tease him like that. Well, when I know I got him and I knew that he was going to be a good guy to be around, I gave it up one game. So the next day he comes by my locker, so just really uncoordinated kind of, because he doesn't really have that, you know, zinger line kind of, hey, Mud, you were really good yesterday.
He's like, Ben.
And I was like, yes, yes, the unit has cracked.
Yeah.
Yes. So now, like, when we text one another, he'll say, hey, I'm going to be at the game in Arizona or whatever. He goes, oh, by the way, you're really good.
Oh, my God. He's still doing the bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now when I see him, like at Chase last summer, he walked into the booth, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, but I look at him right in the eye and I go, what in the heck did you ever do in this game of baseball?
How'd you get
yeah,
this gig?
Right. So anyway,
I love it.
Yeah, you got to pick your spots, but you do need guys like that. Absolutely. I'm a firm believer of that. Yeah.
Talking to Mud Grant here on Ben and Woods this morning, and how's Donnie? How's Donnie doing?
Donnie's great. We keep in touch. He's doing his fishing thing. He's doing his cooking thing.
Yeah, I saw he's doing his workout thing now.
Oh,
he said it's time to get in shape.
Yeah, he's going to lose the boiler, he said.
Every offseason.
Yeah.
It's the boiler loser.
Yeah, he kind of keeps me in tune. And
are you guys competitive with each other about
who's there a way off when you show up to spring training?
Not really. I mean, we kind of, you know, we kind
of
get on each other a little. Yeah.
Yeah, look at
help yourself to some more of that, will you? Right?
Do you think we're not a little competitive about it too?
Oh, I'm sure you are. Yeah.
He's kicking my ass right now.
But it's great.
So you've had the pleasure of eating at Don Tangelo's many times.
Only once.
Once.
Yeah, just once.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, and it was hard to get in.
It's very difficult.
Every time I called, they were
booked.
They were booked.
Booked solid. It's just amazing.
I would say, hey, table for one for Grant. Let me see. Grant, table for one. Ooh, we just filled up. I'm
so sorry.
So sorry. Maybe next time.
He's a legend. We got to get him back out here again. It was so fun when he came out that
one
time.
Yeah, it was fun to have him out here. How are you guys feeling?
Sore.
Yeah?
Very sore.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
That's great.
Higgy?
Yeah, because I'm smart. I don't go out there with everybody.
Paulie, babe? Good?
Yeah. He's sore, too. Paulie's sore. He's got shin splints.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working
hey, did
those.
You guys see the torn Achilles yesterday?
So we do have a torn we have a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
I've seen a finger, like, almost with a tip cut off.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Langer tried to catch a ball
bare-handed?
From the machine barehanded.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So when you have the glove on this hand, he went to do the double catch.
That's the way to do it.
Just just nicked it.
That reminds me, though, we had our NFL picks for the playoffs last week, and the loser, the punishment, has to wear one from the pitching machine today. And that is
really?
That's him.
So like in the side or something?
Wherever I want. But what do you best guess just ask? Just turn,
turn that big old.
I was terrified it was going to be me. I haven't taken a pitch
in
40 years.
Certain mile an hour?
Just whatever we're playing in the game.
Okay. It's still going to sting.
It's going to sting. It hurts. It never feels good to get hit
heck
by a
pitch. Heck yeah, it is.
So I got to do that later today. Paulie's going to have to. We're playing each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll film that. We'll throw it up later.
All right.
I'm not looking forward to it, Mudley. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it.
You guys looking forward to this year?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to. I want to. Everyone's so mad right now. Everyone, we want some free agents. And we want some signings. Yeah. We got to get this guy. We got to fill this position. And we were talking about it earlier on the show. I mean, we got some holes to fill. But every time
that's
spring
what makes
training,
the game so great, right?
Every time
you never
spring
know.
Training comes, I'm ready. You
there
know?
Are no guarantees. And it's like, you know, everybody, all the Dodger fans out there and all the Padre fans that I know, they're saying, hey, what are the Dodgers? I said, you know, let them win 150 games.
Right.
We'll just beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the dream. That's the dream. I mean, it's we were talking about that with pretty much every coach that's come by. And yeah, I mean, you got to play those games. Managing that team in the regular season is going to be a weirdly different challenge, I think, for Doc Roberts. It's it's strange. I mean,
it is.
You feel like they roll out of bed and win. 110.
Yeah.
You know, it's so many games, though.
It's so cliche, but it's so true, is that there are no guarantees.
Right.
Just because your team's on paper and the way it looks.
Oh, we know that here.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We know that here. 23 really smacked us all in the mouth. And, I'm looking forward to it. It's always the best time of year because we get you. And we get Donnie in our TVs every night. We
appreciate that.
We get Tony and Jesse. It's just a part of our family.
I do want to ask you, though, because last season everyone was adapting to a new manager in Mike Schilt. Having him back, like, everything in place, second season.
Yep.
You know, he said to us at spring training, it's going to take a little while for me to, you know, start doing, you know, getting everybody on the same page.
Right.
How much of an advantage is that, having so many of the same guys back with the same manager? Something we haven't seen a lot in, you know, with the Padres, with all the changes that AJ usually makes. A little bit different this year.
I think AJ and Mike have done a great job with the players. And last year was a testament of, you know, there's one moment that really solidified for me. You know where I'm going?
Washington.
With
the Nationals game?
It was at Petco.
Profar, Manny. Was that the moment? Because that's what it was for me.
Well, for me, it was as far as a manager showing confidence in his players.
Well, yeah,
is when the catcher's interference call.
Yep,
I think it was Jake.
Yeah,
and he flew out. Catcher's interference. Now you can elect to either take the run or take the penalty or whatever.
The penalty.
So he put the runner back to third with Manny coming up with bases loaded.
Yep.
First pitch, double to the gap.
Amazing.
And it was like, that's a manager showing confidence in the situation, and it was the perfect storm. Manny coming up, basically. So rather than taking the run, send the runner back, and then having Manny hit with the bat. So there was a lot of moments, obviously.
That moment, I thought you were going with the moment that realized, okay, this team's different. They're sticking up for each other.
Yeah.
Was the Manny and Profar, and Manny grabs Keibert Ruiz.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
This was it. It spoke to me. And listen, I think you're gonna need more of those moments next year.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a tough task. I mean, they added Kirby Yates yesterday.
How about that?
it's crazy. It's like there's somebody out there that they can get. They're getting them. So
I hear that Steve Garvey's going to spring training with the Dodgers.
Going to compete at first for a spot. Oh man, but
he's trying to push Freddie Freeman out.
If anybody could do it, I'm sure it would be Gar. But Mud Grant joins us.
Mud, it is great to see you as always.
Good to see you guys.
You'll be back here in about a month, I'd imagine, for some TV broadcasts.
I will be here
training.
A little bit in February, middle of the month, and then towards the end of March.
Awesome.
Cap.
So stay tuned.
Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate all the San Diego fans out there. Love you.
Christian,
and
love you
guys are awesome.
Always
Paulie
good
Bed.
To see you. Mark right. Grant, Padres broadcaster, and always one of our absolute favorites joining us here. Got the meeting coming up. You guys are sticking around a little bit longer today, which is good. The game doesn't start until later, so we got more talk. I want to get into the Hall of Fame, the voting, the tallies that were released yesterday, and more on that. And, of course, we got Trevor Hoffman coming up in just a little bit, I think during the meeting here. So don't go anywhere first. Let me tell you about SDFatLoss.com. I know you've heard my story, 40 pounds in 60 days. If you combine, though, the weight I lost, the weight that Scraby lost, the weight that Chris Ella lost, 117 pounds between us. It's because the program works. It worked for all of us. It's worked for tier ones who have signed up. I've talked to many of them. It's a pound of fat per day. It's 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. And all you have to do is go to their website, sdfatloss.com, and sign up for a free consultation. When you do so now, before January 31st, you're going to get $200 off the program. It's all about using real foods, things you normally eat, steak, chicken, vegetables, and eating them at the right times, the right portions, and watching the weight come off. You're going to reset your metabolism. Your energy goes up. I'm sleeping better. My pain levels have gone way down in my knees and my back. Losing the weight does so much benefit for your life. I just can't tell you how glad I was that I went through the program. You can as well. Clients on average lowering their metabolic age by 17 years with SDFatLoss.com. So get your free consultation. Set it up today. Take advantage of the $200 off program at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. This is a cool tweet. X. CeCe Sabathia said, woke up and realized yesterday wasn't a dream, Woods. We've been having so many guests here at Padres Fantasy Camp. Haven't really had a chance to talk about the new Hall of Famers yet, but CeCe Sabathia, one of them. First ballot Hall of Famer for the pitcher, obviously Ichiro, who got in with nearly a unanimous vote. Just one vote shy of becoming the second player ever to be unanimously selected. And then maybe the most dramatic selection, Billy Wagner, in his 10th and final year on the ballot, finally got the votes necessary, three-quarters of the vote necessary, and was the third member elected into the Hall of Fame yesterday.
The video of Billy Wagner absolutely sent me yesterday. He was sitting there with his wife and gets a phone call, can't say anything, just breaks down crying. And, you know, I saw a couple of tweets yesterday from guys saying, yeah, if you ever faced Billy Wagner, you knew immediately this guy was on the Hall of Fame track. Absolutely insane it took him that long to get in. What an excruciating process, Ben, for a decade to wait for your call, and he got it yesterday. And it just never gets old, man. CeCe was on fire yesterday, tweeting about every 15 minutes. You could tell he was pretty fired up. I know that Tony Jr. will probably have a lot to say about that. He knows CeCe really, really well. So it'd be cool to get some insight from him. But, yeah, man, those are three of the best to ever do it, man. I had no problem with any of those guys
going. I agree. I think back, and they are touchstone players.
Oh, yeah.
Of the eras in which they played. CeCe Sabathia always felt to me like one of the most dominant starters,
yep.
At any time, in part of his career. Billy Wagner, of course, was synonymous with great left-handed relief pitchers in all of baseball history. And then Ichiro was the no-brainer. Everyone is making the, like, who was it? I don't think we found out.
No, I don't think so.
The one person who didn't vote for Ichiro. And I've seen the speculation going. Well, I've seen people going, well, they're doing it for the attention. Well, if you want the attention, you're going to have to admit it was you, and no one has done so yet. And I don't know if that will or will not come out at some point. Was it on purpose? Was it an accident? Did they check the wrong box or something? It just seems silly that anyone would look at Ichiro's body of work and go, nah, I might vote for him next year, but I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Come on.
It's just a complete player, Ichiro Suzuki. A complete player. He had the arm. He had the speed. Could hit for power. If he wanted to, he could hit for power. He was a true five-tool player, and I've been lucky enough to know the family that represented him kind of after his career. And I've heard so many stories about Ichiro. The man is as baseball obsessed as any human being that has ever walked the face of the earth and just wants to be around the game. I just saw a tweet from, it was basically right across the street, right here where the Mariners complex is. He'll show up at spring training unannounced, and he'll just get into the outfield and start shagging flies and going and hitting. And somebody asked one of the guys there, and they said, no, he just comes and goes when he pleases.
I remember when he first arrived here in Peoria, Arizona, early 2000s, at Mariners camp. And he was really the first position player to make the jump from Japan. There had been pitchers like Hideo Nomo, but he was the first position player. And I remember there was a lot of skepticism.
Sure.
It's one thing for a pitcher to come over. I don't think a position player from Japan is going to succeed. And spring training started. And I'll tell you what. He looked horrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
just like Shohei did.
He looked horrible. And everyone was going, oh, the Mariners made a huge mistake here. This is not going to work out. I mean, he was batting like something in spring training. And then the regular season started, and it was like, oh, this guy can do everything.
Everything.
This guy can do everything. Went on, won the MVP, and, a legend was born, the legend of Ichiro Suzuki.
Cannon for an arm. I mean, just a cannon for an arm.
He had a throw. I grew up. I was 10 years old, 11 years old when he came over to Seattle back in 2001. And that first year, you had just lost Alex Rodriguez the previous year to Texas. Ken Griffey Jr. had been traded 2 years before that. So you're like, all right, here comes the new wave, I guess. We'll see what happens. And it took about 2 weeks. He threw an absolute strike to third base. He did not have to move his glove, and everyone goes,
Oh my God. Yeah, that's awesome.
He was unbelievable.
But also kind of marched to the beat of his own drummer as well. Famous for just the detail and everything that went along with it. And he also was such a baseball guy, and I saw a story yesterday that A-Rod actually confirmed that Ichiro got a text a few years ago, 2017, and it was a number he didn't know, and it was someone who said, hey, I would love to come and study your stretching regimen. It's a legendary routine that he goes through to get his body in shape.
He had a machine he would bring with him on the road.
Like with him. It had to come with him. Like they had to build, like, I think, an extra room just to house it for the Mariners, just to be part of his career. In fact, he couldn't go to certain teams because they couldn't accommodate
Chicago.
His stretching team.
They wanted him. And he goes, I can't. There's no room for my thing.
And the text said, that, by the way, this is Tom Brady. And Ichiro's response was, who the bleep is Tom Brady?
Yeah, to his buddies. He's like, Tom Brady. Oh, man. He's one in a billion, for sure. One in a billion. So he'll be a Hall of Famer. We'll be talking to a Hall of Famer, Trevor Hoffman, here very shortly. I did see one this morning from the great Mike Sweeney. You know, I've got a great story about Mike Sweeney, but I'll read this one for you. And I put it in my bookmarks, and here it is. He leads off the game with a line drive to left center field for a base hit. And he gets over to first base. All I could think about was when I played in Japan against the Japanese All-Stars, anytime an American would get a base hit up on the Jumbotron would be this huge graphic that would say pow or boom, and it would say nice hitting. Or no, nice batting. So over the loudspeaker, you'd hear the PA say nice batting, and you'd see these big graphics up on the Jumbotron. Being a kid from Southern California, doesn't speak any Japanese, I don't know what to say to Ichiro. I don't even know if he knows English. Just gotten here in spring training. I look over at him. I pat him on the back. I say, Ichiro, nice batting. And I don't know what kind of response I'm going to get. He looks at me. Never met him before. And he goes, Mike Sweeney, nice ass. I just started dying laughing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. His English was perfect. No accent. I'm going, oh, my gosh, this guy, he's going to be great. Yeah, phenomenal class into the Hall of Fame yesterday. And speaking
of Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
Give it 1 second. We're going to check traffic, and when we come back, we'll be joined by our Hall of Famer of our own here on 97.3 The Fan. I believe our next guest had to wait, was it 3 years before he got the call from the Hall of Fame? Was that correct, Trevor Hoffman? It was the third year of eligibility. So you know what it's like. I mean, Billy Wagner, obviously, waiting until the 10th and last time on the ballot yesterday. You probably saw the emotion. We were talking about it from him. What were your thoughts yesterday when Billy Wagner got the news?
I was extremely proud of him, the way he's handled the last decade. To have this build up in January every year and to have the letdown, to not hear the call or the phone call come in, was ecstatic for him. We had two guys in our class, Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, who came off the ballot after 15 years, and you start to resign yourself to the fact that maybe it's not meant to be, maybe it's not going to happen. And both of these guys were pros. Their numbers didn't get any more hits, they didn't get any more RBIs, but I think with common sense, which we're starting to see around the country, prevailed a little bit with these guys getting in my year. And so I'm happy that Billy didn't have to wait for a modern day era committee to come in and maybe clean up what should have been done during the time he was on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, and those first 2 years that you didn't get in, what was that like for you?
I had no idea what to expect. So year one, I was actually on a golf course out at Barona having a good time with a bunch of ex-baseball players going,
go
if I get a call, they're going to have to find me.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be a first-time ballot guy, so I didn't have much concern, but I came out with a decent number in the 50s. And so I knew I needed to be around a little bit for the second year, at least be at home. And we came four votes shy. And so mom wasn't getting any younger. And we said, you know what, even if we don't get a chance to go in the third year, we can have a celebration, appreciate all the things moms do, have a lot of family and friends. Eric Meyer did a great job with the Padres coming in and documenting it. And fortunately, we kind of sailed past the 75 with probably four extra votes.
And you get that phone call, and you know it's coming. And I watch Tony Gwynn's all the time. I mean, it's just one of my favorite videos that makes the rounds every year, and you see the emotion. And I've seen yours as well. For you, when that phone rings, it's like, all right, this is going down.
So the funny part of the phone ringing is there's a little bit of a, you know, just elephant in the room, tense, kind of waiting. We're in the window, and my phone rings, and I look down, and I see Glenn Hoffman. And so that's what Big Brother will do.
On purpose.
On purpose.
What?
And I'm like, and the room goes quiet.
You're sick.
I go, Glenn.
He's a sick man.
It's Glenn. And it kind of brought a little levity to the room. A typical Big Hoff. I mean, he just knows when.
Keep this line open.
Do not
I mean,
call
if they call
me
and it's busy, then I don't get into the Hall of Fame. They only call once.
Back.
That's it. They don't call back.
So the next call was Jack O'Connell, and he welcomed me into the hall, and it was a great moment. Really, you dream about, and something from an individual standpoint, it's unbelievable.
Talking to Trevor Hoffman, our first guest with hair this morning on 97.3 The Fan. We had Flan, we had Wally, and we had Mud. So congratulations.
You had stars in front of me. That's fantastic.
We were just talking about Ichiro. You were here in, when he made his debut and was here in Peoria coming over from Japan, and there was a lot of skepticism. Like, is the first position player who's really come over? Is this going to be a thing? What do you remember from that first season when Ichiro didn't look good in spring training, and then all of a sudden, like, he was pulling the wool over our eyes, and the season started. He was the best player in the American League.
No doubt. Just the same stuff. I'm like, is this going to translate? Like, how's this going to work? And the language barrier. But I do. I remember watching him in camp, and you saw glimpses of what his talent was going to look like. Now, from a swing standpoint, nobody swang like that.
Nobody.
So you're like, okay, how do you teach that? How does, you know, a hitting coach approach that? And so he's written himself into the record books, but I remember meeting him for the first time, and it wasn't quite as clear as hey, Mike, sweetie, nice to meet you. But, you know, he shook my hand and said, nice to meet you as well, at a Padre Mariner golf event out at Quintero. And from that moment on, I go, this guy, he's Fernando all over again, where he has the interpreter. And I'm sure it makes him feel comfortable to have that blanket where nothing's going to get lost in translation. But really an amazing guy.
Well, the media would never – we would never take anything out of context or spin anything out of translation. It would never occur. It would never happen. So speaking of that, let's talk about the 2025 San Diego Padres. And as we stand today, there's some work to do, right, to fill out the roster. But the core is coming back. Jackson Merrill, he's here. He's getting his work in. And I think our audience, I told the story yesterday. I asked him, how's the offseason? He said, it's effing boring, man. I'm bored out of my mind. I'm ready to get back. He's a dog. He wants to be out there. And he's what guys in the game call, he's a dude, right? Yeah. He's just a dude. And you see a lot of these other guys walking around, too. And you know, when you talk about this team as it stands, where do you kind of see – how we start the season as far as getting some of these holes filled and getting going?
Yeah, I think there's still plenty of time, honestly, left before we have camp open up. But, you know, one of our assets over the last few years has been our minor league system, that we've gone out and traded for pieces that we might have needed to fill holes. And so we might be in a position where we rely on our minor league system at this point in time to replenish some areas. But you're right when you said cupboards aren't empty. We have leadership in Manny, Taddy, Joe, you. Like, I'd love to start, like, feeling bad about ourselves with those guys being our headliners. And so Jackson's just, like you mentioned, a dude. He's a baseball rat. He just wants to get going again. He had so much fun last year, and a breakout for the all of America to see. I'm looking forward to seeing a sophomore year.
Yeah. Pitching-wise, though, Trevor, obviously didn't get Roki. Joe's going to be out for the year. So someone's going to have to step up. Whether they add someone in the next few weeks, there's going to be someone internally that's going to step up. What do you see from some of the younger guys? Waldron, Vasquez, you know, Adrian Mora-Honesman talked about it as a potential starter. How do you see those guys potentially working in the mix here in 2025?
I love this, the idea that Matty Waldron did such an amazing job at the beginning of the year last year and was able to handle some of the ups and downs as he got tired. And that's only going to benefit him moving into his next season. He's going to get relied on heavily. Vasquez, another example of, you need to play in the big leagues. You need to figure out what that highest level looks like, and you might get knocked down, but you learn from it. You don't live in the past, you learn from the past. And so those guys are going to be instrumental. As I mentioned, Joe, not pitching, but he's going to have a huge impact on how guys go about their business. I mean, they can still rely on a veteran on what it means to be a big leaguer and how to go about your business. So I think we're okay.
I've heard Camp 44 is still happening.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Still going to have everybody getting ready for the season coming up here soon.
Looking forward to that. I think anytime you can get guys together 2-3 weeks in front of when they're going to get here, you hit the ground running. You know, it's not like, you know, you're trying to sift through some of the awkward moments that do happen in camp for the first week. It's like, we know where to be for bullpens. We know what Ruben's going to be talking about. We know if we got Fritzy back there, what that means as a bullpen guy. Those things kind of get ironed out.
100%.
Trevor, it is a pleasure. I know you will be back in Cooperstown in July for the ceremony. Everyone always goes back to see the new class being inducted, and I'm sure that'll be another fun experience.
It'll be great. I'm looking forward to that class. Five guys going in, so hopefully the AC's blazing up there on the stage.
So hot.
We'll have a good time seeing those guys in.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thanks, Hoffman.
Cheers. Trevor Hoffman, Hall of Famer for the San Diego Padres, number 51. Always a pleasure when we get to chat with Trevor and talk a little baseball and what's going on. Great stories from Ichiro's first days and talking about Billy Wagner. And
he always makes me feel
emotion.
Better.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does.
How's your ankle, by the way? You okay? Oh, man, he's bumming right now. He's on a bum ankle. God, and he's in shape with a bum ankle. Imagine how we feel.
Yeah, he's he
does
is
that make
not,
you feel better?
He looks
yeah,
like
somebody
he
as
still,
in shape as him is yeah, still getting banged up
yeah,
out here.
Of course it does. Of course it makes me feel better.
Well, how old is he now? He still looks like he's in his 30s.
God, he still looks like he's throat. Crazy.
Does.
A lot of these guys do, actually.
I had people reaching out yesterday, and we had Jake Peavy on there. Like, he literally looks like he could suit up and throw still tomorrow.
He looks like an athlete. They're athletes, man. And, yeah, you get a whole new appreciation every time you come out here for what these guys go through in 162 games.
I'll say last year at Fantasy Camp was the first year that Jake Peavy had come out.
Yep.
And we did our shows Monday through Friday. Friday is always they call it the championship day. Even the last place game, you get to go play in the big stadium across the street over at Peoria Sports Complex.
Yep.
You got your name. They got the billboard, the big jumbo screen going. It's awesome. And before the game, Jake Peavy, we were playing against his team.
Throwing a bullpen.
And he started throwing a bullpen with fantasy campers standing in the box.
Yeah.
And you're just standing there with a bat. You're not swinging or anything. And he was throwing darts.
Yeah, missiles.
No warm-up.
Yep.
No warm-up. It was awesome.
They're unbelievable.
So we just talked to Trevor Hoffman. Should have won a Cy Young Award as a relief pitcher. I believe we may be talking to a Padre who did win a Cy Young Award as a relief pitcher coming up in the second half of the program. I believe we will play Take on Woods as well. It's all coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Don't go away. Bennett Woods live from Fantasy Camp continuing here on 97.3 The Fan.